The reading for Tuesday, March 31st, is going to start in John chapter 4, verse 46. John chapter 4, verse 46. If you'd like to read along with me, please. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The officials said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." The father knew that that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live," and he himself believed in all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, the man who said to me, 'Take up your bed and walked.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his Father, making himself equal with God. We're going to go ahead and stop there. I realize that the context continues on, but we'll continue on tomorrow with verse 19. We'll go ahead and make a few comments from John 4, 46 up through John 5, verse 18. So going back to John chapter 4, verse 46 with this official, it says there in verse 46 that Capernaum is where this official's son was, and Jesus was then in Cana. So just a little bit of background, Capernaum would have been about a day's journey from Cana, where Jesus then was. So I'm not sure that he knew Jesus was going to be there and made the journey. It seems like maybe something else took him to Capernaum, because in verse 47, when this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him. I assume that means that he was already in the area and located him. I could be wrong, but that's what I seem to read into it. Now, if he had heard that he was on his way there and had gone and met him, then that would have shown some great faith there as well. So Jesus in verse 48 makes an accusation or makes a statement that we see numerous times, especially with the Pharisees and the scribes, saying, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." But verse 49, the official implores him again, "Come down before my child dies." And Jesus just simply says, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word, and he goes on his way. So this man knows enough about Jesus that he trusts in what he's saying, making that request once and then twice. He ignores the statement, as far as I can tell, the way that John writes it, unless you see signs and wonders. He doesn't defend himself. He just gives that urgent plea, please come before my child dies. And then when Jesus doesn't say, yes, I'll come with you, he simply says, go, your son will live. He believes, and he goes on his way, and then meets up with his servant, finds out that at the moment Jesus had made that statement, yes, the fever had left his son, and his son was going to be fine. So it says he himself believed and all his household. So he would have told others about how his son overcame this. It's not just a matter of, well, hey, his fever finally broke. No, it's I spoke to Jesus and I asked Jesus to do this. And Jesus said, your son will live. And that's when the fever left him. That's when this was over. He was going to live. All right. And then we get into chapter 5. There's a feast of the Jews going on, and Jesus goes up to Jerusalem. It's difficult to say exactly which feast this would have been for. Commentators think that it's probably the Passover, but it's just not clear. There were two other feasts in which all males were required to be present. That would have been the Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles. So it doesn't really matter which one it is, but it's just one of the things that I think about from time to time. You know, which feast are we talking about? But it's of no consequence to what's going on here. So the explanation is made that there was this pool by the sheep gate in which individuals that had different infirmities, and not just a matter of I don't feel well, but I mean blind, lame, and paralyzed. These are serious infirmities that impact their ability to make a living and function in society, that these people would come and expect to receive some healing because of this pool. And so verse 7, the sick man says, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me. Well, when you think about what's going on here, some people wonder, well, did people actually get healed? I don't know the answer to that question. People tend to be pretty superstitious, and especially when people feel like they have no other options, there's nothing to lose, they'll buy into those superstitions. So most tend to think that it was probably a superstition that's going on here. The real healing comes when Jesus comes up. And so Jesus looks at him, says, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And at once the man was healed, he took up his bed and he walked. And, of course, this was on the Sabbath. Now, the Jews see this man carrying his bed, and they automatically jump to, hey, you're breaking the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to take up your bed, to carry your bed. I don't know exactly what would have constituted his bed. Certainly not what you and I would think of as, you know, carrying around a Serta mattress everywhere, but it would have been, you know, maybe more like what we used to see in the Western movies when you'd have your little bedroll that you'd roll up and you'd put it on the back of the saddle of the horse, you know, something you could tuck up under your arm. That's more than likely the type of bed we're talking about. So he takes up his bed and he walks. The Jews see it. No, you're not supposed to be doing that. This is the Sabbath. The man says, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. Now, let's stop there for just a moment. If somebody comes to you and they tell you, you're healed, take your stuff and go on about your way, the fact that you've been healed would lend credence to what they're saying. In other words, you would expect that if they have the power to heal you, then they have the authority to tell you, take up your bed and walk. So I don't think that this man is wondering, well, who are you to tell me to break the Sabbath? I don't think he's in that frame of mind. But the Jews see him, and they jump right to that. Hey, you're breaking the Sabbath. And I think when he makes this statement, hey, the man who healed me said, take up your bed and walk, he's appealing to the authority then of the one who healed me. Remember when we talked about Nicodemus? When Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, we know that no one could do these things unless they had been sent of God. So there's the authority. He was able to do this. This is by the power of God. Therefore, he has the authority to tell me to do this. He wouldn't tell me then to do something that would be contrary to what God expected of him. So they jump right to, hey, who is this that said this to you? Who told you this? And at first he doesn't know who it was. He didn't ask for identification, I guess, when he's told, hey, you're healed, go on about your business. He's probably too happy to wonder what the person's name is. I wonder how I would have done in the same situation. Would I have asked him, hey, what's your name? I want to know who did this for me. I would like to think that maybe I would do that, but I really have no way of knowing. It's very likely that it just didn't cross his mind to ask. He's very happy to be healed and to be able to go on about his way. But Jesus finds him later and says, see, you are well, sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. Now, we're going to get to the point where we discuss this later, but right now, realize that Jesus is not saying that the physical infirmity was because of sin. Now, it's possible his physical infirmity could have been a consequence of some sort of sin, but it's not just the fact, hey, this happened to you because you sinned. In other words, God causing something because it sinned. Later on, when we get to other instances of Jesus' healing, the disciples will ask, you know, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus tells them, you don't understand. That was a common way of thinking, that if something bad happened to you, it must be because you're a sinner. That's not what Jesus is saying here. And realize also that the worst thing that can happen to us is to die in our sin and then be condemned for all eternity. So that would certainly be something worse than being ill. But the man goes away and he tells the Jews that it was, in fact, Jesus who had healed him. And John says this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Obviously, that's not the only reason, but right here, right now, that is the reason that they're going with. Verse 17, Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. So he makes that connection. Hey, I'm doing the will of the Father, I'm doing the things of the Father, and it's by his power that I do these things. So it is God the Father witnessing for Jesus the Son. So then in verse 18, this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God, appealing to both authority and divinity for himself. So we're going to get into more of that. There's other instances in which this comes up in a little bit more detail where we can address it a little bit further. Verse 19 and following, we're going to get into talking about the role of the Son and the authority of the Son. But in order to keep these readings brief and my comments brief, I'm going to save those for tomorrow, lest I make this too long. So a few things to think about, some things perhaps for you to meditate on today about the power and the role and the authority and the divinity of Jesus, our Savior, the Christ, the Messiah. I hope this has been beneficial for you, and would ask that you continue your prayers for one another, and ask that God be with us all. Thank you for listening.